Greetings and welcome to The Dividing Line. It is a Tuesday morning. I understand for many of you it is not a pleasant day. Someplace in North Carolina, I think they were talking about a quarter inch of ice. I just stay home and hide inside and hope power doesn't go out, I guess. I don't know. But here in Phoenix, Arizona, the high today will be right around 80 degrees. I think it got down to a chilly 49 briefly this morning at my house. We gotta put up with our difficulties too. So we're doing our part. We're in shorts, right? Yep, we're in shorts. Okay, yeah. Huh? Yeah, white shorts. That's right. Yeah. that's why everybody moves here. When they get tired of the ice and the snow. But anyway, yesterday I posted an article on the blog and on Facebook concerning the beheading of the 21 Copts, Egyptian Coptic Christians, in Libya. They had been kidnapped. And before we talk about that, I'll just have to say, I really wish there was a way to turn comments off on Facebook, that you could post stuff and then say, keep your stupid, idiotic ignorance to yourself. You can do that on YouTube. We just turn the comments off. And all the silly 9/11 truthers and everybody else that comes crawling out of the woodwork with all their inane, well, this is all Photoshop. Nobody's doing that. It's the CIA and the Illuminati. And it's just like, oh, please. Wow. The internet comment boxes, I've described them as this for a long time. And this is what they are. They are internet ignorance aggregators. IIAs, internet ignorance aggregators. And people behind the keyboard, well, anymore, you know what? I don't know. It makes much difference. In person, keyboard, people just say the most inane things. But aside from those really weirdos, I tell you, reading the comment box, I've never deleted more comments than I have on that one article. I don't know how many you've deleted, but this morning, I don't know how many I deleted. Just complete people that just don't get it, you know. And unfortunately, there's a bunch of folks. It's like, I ain't praying for those people. Put a hellfire missile right up there, you know. And then the number of other people who, you shouldn't have mentioned the Catholics. You're just an anti-Catholic, and totally missing the point. Completely missing the point, the historical reality that anybody who knows history knows, and that is the veneration of saints, angels, and images has always been an issue in regards to Islam and external Christianity. If you don't know that, you just don't know history. You're just ignorant. You don't know what you're talking about. But again, when you get on the internet, people don't care whether you're ignorant. That's okay. Yeah, everyone's opinions are equal. I'll tell you, it honestly, you know, I know there were a lot of folks that were very much helped by the amount of time. And look, what happened was I got up, I started reading some articles. I read an article by a fairly well-known Christian leader, conservative Christian leader. And I just realized that nobody was saying anything yet. Key stuff in the video was being ignored. The role of the Hadith. You know, I know most Christians watching this don't haven't read the Hadith, and so they don't have the background. So I took the time to write it. I'm discouraged from writing stuff like that by reading the stuff on Facebook. I really am.
Well, for what it's worth, I learned a lot from reading that article.
Oh, I know a lot of people did, but it's depressing. It's just.
But at the same time, if somebody in the mainstream media were to read that, perhaps they could suddenly put things in a context, because they just keep scratching their heads going, well, I don't understand why they hate us. I don't understand. Well, maybe it's religious.
I was grabbing a bite to eat before the program, and I happened to have, Fox News was in commercial, so it was CNN. And,
I don't think that it's in my TV.
Yeah, well.
Not allowed. Not in China.
I know where to find it, because there are a lot of times that Fox News has some stupid, almost infomercial thing going for who knows how long on a completely inappropriate subject as a commercial. And I just go elsewhere, and lo and behold, CNN's normally doing news from their own unique worldview. Anyway, they had somebody on, and they were echoing that young, arrogant, commie State Department spokes chick. I don't know what her name is, but she wears the smart girl glasses and looks down on everybody and knows all things. And just makes me want to, I don't know who.
Jen Psaki.
Okay, that sounds right. And she was, this CNN info babe was echoing her. Basically saying, well, we can't win this until we address the underlying cause, and these people need better jobs. Just like, woohoo! Yeah, there you go. If they had better jobs, they wouldn't be the jihadis. If they had bigger bank accounts.
Well, they're...
Never mind the fact that half of them left everything they owned to go join these people. Don't worry about that. You know, it's just like, oh, man. What a mess, huh?
But, well, there has to be a secular answer for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Religion actually doesn't actually exist. So, therefore, I mean, that's the way she answers everything.
Well, anyway, I don't remember who the CNN info babe was. But, anyway... I don't remember when I got this. I was going to look up what it cost. I honestly, if I recall correctly, I think this thing was around $269, if I recall correctly. This is called The Life of Muhammad, edited by Rizwi Pfizer. And this is actually the first English translation of this particular work. I just happened to open up halfway through, 248 pages in, to the raid of the Banu Qurayza. And hence, this is just a huge compilation of the hadith sources. I'm sure Al-Qurtubi is in here someplace. All this material in regards to... you would think the life of Muhammad, it would be about the life of Muhammad. This whole thick book is nothing other than the battles of Muhammad. This is the record of Muhammad's military campaigns, battles, raids on villages and caravans and so on and so forth. That's what this entire book is about. Is the military activities of Muhammad, according to Islamic sources, anyway. So what's about? There have been many, many, many books written on the life of Jesus. There has never been a book written on the battles of Jesus. And there is no way to compare the two because of that. Now, when you forget to silence your phone, and all you hear is a whooping, that was actually Jeff Durbin. I'll call him out here. Jeff Durbin just messaged me on Facebook in the middle of the live show, which clearly means that Jeff's not listening right now or watching. Which is fine. I just catch his program. Well, I actually can't catch his live. It's recorded anyway. So I guess catching it recorded is the only way you can catch it. But anyway, I'm not hurt at all. No. Anyway, the comparison of Muhammad and Jesus, when you look at what is going on in the Middle East today, you simply cannot overemphasize the difference between the means that Jesus uses to rule over the nations. And he does rule over the nations. But he doesn't rule over the nations like Muhammad and his successors sought to rule over the nations. That this is truly where you see the vast difference between the spiritual focus of the Christian faith and the very physical human focus of Islam. Just as in heaven you have physical physical joys, you know, virgins and so on and so forth, here on earth the nature of Dar al-Islam, the world under the control of Islam, is very much a physical one. Which is why submission to Islam is very much a physical thing. Now, has there been a reaction against that in history? Sure. Sure, it's called Sufism. And the Sufis, recognize that this, that the normative form of Sunni Islam allows for, and really has no way of dealing with, nominalism, formalism, externalism. And so the Sufis want something deeper. They want something that goes beyond just simply external conformity to a particular rule or ritual. So when we look at this situation, we are forced to once again think about what is the kingdom of God and what is the kingdom of man. And one of the things that really, really, really disappointed me about some people I know in response to the article is, oh, you're just soft on the Muslims. What did I say? It was soft on Muslims. If I recall correctly, I called these men cowards. They're murderers. Islam has a systemic internal incapacity to change unregenerate hearts. I presented the gospel, the cross, the fact that Islam is ignorant of the meaning of the cross and the purpose of the cross. If that's being soft, I guess being hard on Islam is ignoring all the theology, ignoring the relevance of the gospel, and just saying, bomb them. I guess that's just as far as some people who even call themselves Christians are willing to go. Just bomb them. If you think that's going to solve this problem, you don't understand the problem. I don't know how any Christian could come to that conclusion. Weapons of mass destruction aren't going to do it. Because the issue is internal. The issue is unregenerate men being encouraged to act in unregenerate ways by very popular and defensible interpretations of a religious system that in and of itself does not address the fundamental need of mankind and cannot, because its founding prophet denied it that only possible means of dealing with real issues, and that is Muhammad's ignorance of the cross and of who the Christ was, forever separates his followers from the way that God has provided that would actually solve these issues. If that's soft on Islam, the Muslims don't seem to think I am, but anyway. in my experience, the people who think I'm soft in Islam are people who pretty much never talk to Muslims. And that's another issue. I wanted to play a portion of someone says that link is scrambled. It's fixed? Okay. Just hit refresh. It says, guess I'll watch Jack Van Impe. I was quoted by, it was by Roxella. Is it Roxella? I think it's Rox, is it Roxella Van Impe? I don't know. I mean, of course I've seen snippets on YouTube, but, is it Roxella? Okay. Somebody in Twitter told me that they had just listened to Jack Van Impe and I was quoted positively. And I said, URL? Started listening, and lo and behold, I had one word quoted. Repent. It was what I said to Rick Warren about his capitulation to Rome and calling him our Pope and all the rest of stuff, and I said, repent. And so they quoted me saying, repent. So if you're gonna be quoted saying almost anything, that's a good word. That's a good word to be quoted saying. Repent. So Mike, I guess, is going to be watching Jack Van Impe rather than listening to The Dividing Line today. So, but it's fixed, Mike, if you find out about that. Anyway, I wanted to point something out. I wanted to listen to the little speech given by the English-speaking jihadi. Slight accent, but not a lot. This guy is, I think, a Westerner. And he's the main actor guy in this, isn't it amazing that these people are using, the internet and making HD videos and editing and music and wow, you know, it's not the grainy stuff that people did in the past. Now they're really trying to impress folks by doing HD versions of the most barbaric acts known to man. But there are those who would say that we're just being deceived here. That these men have no theological agenda, there's no theological worldview driving this. And look, I recognize, you look at those men in black, those cowards in black, you know, if you guys are so good, how about at least releasing their hands and giving them a fighting chance against you? Huh? How about that? Let's see how good you are there. Yeah? I mean, face it. I mean, let me say a little something more about this cowardice thing. These guys were kidnapped. They're workers. They're not soldiers. They were just trying to make ends meet. They had taken jobs, probably doing construction work and stuff like that, to try to repair. Have you noticed that wherever ISIS goes, wherever militant Islam goes, they don't build, they destroy. They don't build hospitals, they bomb hospitals. They don't build infrastructure, they bomb infrastructure. Burn, destroy, bring the level of civilization back down to where you're drinking camel urine, as they did in the 7th century in Arabia. This is supposed to be the great vision that these folks have. And kidnapping people. They kidnapped and kidnapping women. Kidnapping young girls who are who go to some place to try to help people who are suffering, kidnap them, and then, as we saw just last week, one right here from in Arizona, killed. Oh, well, it was Jordan that killed him. No, it wasn't, you moron. It was you that killed her. You're the one that kidnapped her. You kidnap someone, you're responsible for that person. Hello? This is how humans think, but we realize that a lot of you guys are not really quite up to that. I mean, if you're kidnapping women, I'm sorry. Don't talk to me about your religion. I'm not interested. You're an animal. Just, I'm not interested. Go away. That's why I wonder. Yeah, again, I know I even posted. No one ever said a word about this. I have not had a single comment, now that I think about it, about the fact that I linked to an entire denunciation of ISIS by an Islamic scholar. Mainly because I put it basically saying, well, bless the fella, but really? Yeah.
We're not going to do this.
You're not supposed to. And the biggest thing was, and I understand, the biggest thing, his biggest criticism was that without the proper fiqh authority, they are declaring other Muslims to be non-Muslims. There's this hesitancy amongst Muslims to say anything that could be interpreted as that person's not a Muslim. Because there's a hadith where Muhammad basically said, if you say another man is not a Muslim, one of you is right. Now think about what that means. What that means is, if he is a Muslim and you say he's not, that means you're not. So you come under Allah's wrath if you falsely say someone else is not a Muslim.
Now that puts some serious context into why many are silent.
Oh yeah.
And again, the media complains, why are they so silent?
Well,
I don't think they are actually looking for the answer.
Well, I don't know. If these people really seriously wanted to understand these folks, they actually maybe do some serious reading in the Quran and the Hadith, but that ain't happening. Anyway, that is where this hesitancy comes from. To say, well, they're acting in an un-Islamic way is not the same thing as to say they're not a Muslim. And so what is happening to ISIS is certainly on any meaningful Sunni or Shia basis, as far as fiqh is concerned, as far as jurisprudence is concerned, the fact that they kill, it's probably minimally 10 to 1, maybe more, Muslims versus anybody else. Requires us to recognize that they are radical even in their Islamic theology. No question about it. I got that. But you look at that article video that I linked to, and it's, you know, it's only half a scroll down here on the screen from Sheikh Haitham al-Haddad. And, you know, again, I appreciate him taking the time to say, this is why these guys are wrong. And I appreciate the 140 some odd, Muslim scholars that signed the thing, put themselves at risk. It's amazing. People say, well, you shouldn't, you're just being too friendly to them. So, Muslims stand up and say it's wrong, and we're supposed to just ignore that, right? I thought we were people of truth. Hello? Again, the responses I've gotten from a lot of folks on Twitter as well, just pure hypocrisy for people who call themselves Christians anyways. Pure hypocrisy. It's like, I don't care. Don't care. Don't care. But anyway, the point is, you can make the arguments against ISIS. They can make the arguments the other way. Because, you know what? You know, this is just one book of hadith. I suppose, y'all have seen them before. If you've seen any of my, there is a set. That's actually not hadith back there. Yeah, I'm pointing right at it. Right there. That's Mukattal's tafsir, which, sadly, most Muslims consider unorthodox because so early he didn't follow all the later developed. The accusations against him are anachronistic. They're backwards, but Muslims think backwards. Let's just be honest. I mean, if you take the Quran and read the rest of the Old New Testament in light of that, you're going backwards anyhow. And so it just sort of is part of the way of thought. But anyway, he's criticized. He's actually an incredibly important source of information, really is, because he's before some of the filtering methodologies that created Sunni orthodoxy. So there's important information in there. But you've got that. You've got things like that. You've got Bukhari, Muslim, Sunan Abu Dawud. You know, if you see my videos, I've sort of moved out of the way once or twice, and there's a shelves of these materials, and that's what you get to pull from. And this fellow that I posted, he's pulling his particular sources and following his jurisprudence, but ISIS has theirs. And it just seems that right now, the less radical perspective ain't doing so well. What we cannot afford to do, what we cannot do, if we're people of truth, is stop recognizing the distinctions that exist between Muslims. And what I'm fearing is I'm seeing more and more Christians going, I will not invest the effort to make those distinctions. And I said to somebody on Twitter yesterday, well then, don't get upset when people say that you're just like Fred Phelps or the Pope's your leader or whatever, because if you won't take the time to make the proper distinctions between Muslims, then you can't expect anybody else to make the proper distinctions between your beliefs and anybody else's. So just roll the punches. And he's like, that's fine with me. That's okay. And I'm just like, can't reason. Can't not reason. Not there. Not working. Anyways, let's listen to what the guy had to say. I didn't see, by the way, what you saw on Facebook. I don't see a lot of the stuff you see on Facebook for some reason. I'm not sure why. Someone was saying that I should not have watched the video. That was what someone was saying?
Well, that's over on the Alpha and Omega Facebook page. And I'll give you the exact quote. I must admit to being baffled by why James White thinks that is his job to watch those videos. 50 Shades of Grey next. I know civil servants who work on these issues professionally, but who actively avoid watching the killing videos, and those who did seriously regretted doing so. The only professional reason for watching them, as I understand it, is to identify the victims, extract whatever intelligence they may contain, and such as locations or identities of the killers, or for propaganda purposes. It strikes me as profoundly disturbing that a public Christian thinker like White feels the need or desire to watch them. It is completely contrary to Philippians 4:8, and the acts are so deeply fallen that the imagery will have a profound effect on the viewer. Some of this is rather small text for me at my age. I also am unsure why he posts a picture of these poor men seconds before their violent deaths.
You mean other than I'm quoting what's on the screen?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, nothing like not reading what I actually wrote. Yeah, it's...
I find it horrible and disturbing to my soul. If I was the mother and father of one of the murdered, I would not want my own family's faces strapped to a blog post to make the writer's words more evocative. Lastly, would he post a sexual picture to make a point about the legal sex industry?
Okay. All right, I got it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
So this is Dan Banks?
Dan Stork Banks, yes.
Yes, Dan Stork Banks. Okay. Let me... I don't know that I can respond to Mr. Banks because clearly to do so require my removing so much sand from around his head so he could hear me because he's obviously stuck his head in the sand to try to avoid... first of all, Philippians 4:8, that kind of interpretation would mean I would never read the Book of Mormon, I would never read the Doctrine and Covenants, I would never read the Quran, I would never read any... thing like that. In fact, you can make the argument I should never read anything but the Bible itself. Sounds like the guy who wrote the review of my book on the Quran for Amazon. I did not enjoy watching that video, but you have to know what these people are saying to understand why they're doing what they're doing. I don't think, sir, you want to know, or that you seem to think that it's important to know. At the very time they're doing this, they have on the screen the words that I quoted at the beginning of my article. They supplicate what they worship and die upon their paganism. That was central to the entire article. And it was, as far as I can tell, I mean, I haven't done an exhaustive study. I haven't had time to. But in everything I had read up until the time I started writing this, no one had even mentioned it. And yet, evidently, ISIS thought it was important enough to have that on the screen right at that point in time. Think that maybe they were trying to communicate something? You think maybe if we ignore that, we won't get what they're communicating? Yeah. Mr. Banks, thank you for trying to take the role of the Holy Spirit for me, but I will leave that to the Holy Spirit. Appreciate it. For you... don't watch it. Don't watch it. Don't watch it. But I'd appreciate it if you would leave conviction of the Holy Spirit to the Holy Spirit. That would be the way to do it. I guess I don't have notice. For some reason, notifications from that don't appear for me. I'm not sure. Maybe I have to have a different window open or something. I don't know. All I get notifications of are on my private Facebook page, not on Alpha Omega's, even though they're linked together somehow.
Yeah, I think you have to have Page Manager in there in the mix. I've got like three different Facebook apps that I control the pages with.
Okay, yeah, see, I just have the...
And that could be overwhelming. You really don't need that.
Oh, the...
Trust me.
Yeah, everything is overwhelming. anyways, let's listen to this because there's a couple of things I want to address, and then there's other topics we can get to as well. I've already spent half an hour just on this, but listen to again what this fellow has to say.
All praise is due to Allah, the strong and mighty, and may blessings and peace be upon the one sent by the sword as a mercy for all the worlds, O people. Recently, you've seen us on the hills of Hashem and on Dabbuk's plain, chopping off the heads that have been carrying the cross delusion for a long time, filled with...
Now, I'm going to slow that down. Because I can speed up and I can slow down. Stephen, let me decide what I spend time on the DL on. Thank you.
Plain, chopping off the heads that have been carrying the cross delusion for a long time.
Catch that? I hadn't even caught that till just now. Sorry. It went by so fast. Do you hear what he said? Let's try it one more time.
Explain. Chopping off the heads that have been carrying the cross delusion for a long time.
Chopping off the heads that have been carrying the cross delusion for a long time. The cross delusion. Listen to the hadith that he quotes here in a moment.
I'm filled with spite against Islam and Muslims. And today, we're on the south of Rome, on the land of Islam, Libya, sending another message. O Crusaders, safety for you will be only wishes, especially when you're fighting us all together. Therefore, we will fight you all together until the war lays down its burdens and Jesus, peace be upon him, will descend, breaking the cross, killing the swine, and abolishing jizya. And the sea we've hidden Sheikh Osama bin Laden's body in, we swear to Allah, we will mix it with your blood.
So, most Christians, as I explained in the article, are surprised to discover how central Jesus is to Islamic eschatology. And given how confusing eschatology can be to Christians, man, Islamic eschatology is a royal mess. But I quoted the hadith where, and it's interesting to me, the only thing that struck me in looking at this was you had these hadiths multiple times in Sahih al-Bukhari, and you had it in Sunan Abu Dawud, but you didn't have it in Muslim. It would have been I'd be interested in knowing why Muslim did not include any of these particular statements. But you do have a number of repetitions of it, and it's this idea that when Jesus returns, he will break the cross, kill the pigs or the swine, and abolish jizya. Now, jizya is the tax, the levy placed upon the people of the book who live in Islamic lands. It's a protection tax. Obviously, it's used by ISIS and others to destroy Christians and Jews, to drive them out, or just to have them killed. But initially, it was basically, well, if you're not going to go to war, then you have to pay an extra tax to support those of us that do, et cetera, et cetera. To abolish jizya means that there is not going to be any more Jews or Christians living in Islamic lands. And in one of the versions of the hadith, that's exactly what's said, is he abolishes all religions other than Islam. So Jesus actually becomes the weapon, the means by which Islam destroys Christianity, and that's the phraseology, breaks the cross, destroys the cross. Now, one of the things that was, I think, completely unremarkable and yet so offended so many people is I pointed out the reality that Islam detests the cross. Well, why? Well, Surah 4:1-7 certainly is the beginning of that. And it's obvious that the author of the Quran had no earthly conception of what the cross is about, which makes you wonder why didn't the Christians that he had contact with, why weren't they cross-centered? Why weren't they redemption-centered? But we don't know. We can't answer questions like that. History just doesn't give us enough information along those lines. But there is no question that by the time of Muhammad, you have major elements of unbiblical, anti-biblical idolatry existing in formal Christendom, including statues, images, already the veneration issue, dulia, hyperdulia, latria, was beginning to develop. And there is no question, no honest person looking at history can question the reality that this has been a major issue between Christianity, formal, external Christianity, not biblical Christianity, and Islam. And as a result, what has developed over time has been this animosity. And of course, it doesn't help that the Crusaders put crosses on their shields and they died in battle, they were given indulgences, and all this other anti-Christian, heretical stuff, which is what it is. There's no such thing as an indulgence in Scripture. There's no such thing as purgatory and all the rest of that Roman silliness. And to ignore the role that it had is to be dishonest. It does not excuse the ignorance of Muhammad. It does not excuse the ignorance of Islamic leaders. But again, simple truthfulness requires the recognition of the various factors that have gone into the development of these things. And so you have this hadith being quoted as a part of the, not apologetic, but what do you call this? The reason, well, historically it would be an apologetic. You're not apologizing, you're giving the reason for doing what you're doing. This is sending a message. And these are crusaders simply because they are kafirs. They are kafirs because they're Christians. And they venerate the cross. Now, did any one of these men who committed these abominable deeds have any meaningful understanding of what the cross means in biblical Christianity? No. That's why I try to take the time to explain that, you know, to try to explain what the cross is about, why we glory in the cross, but we do not worship the cross. It's because of what God did there. It's the center point of history. That's what makes it special. I mean, if someone dug up the cross today, there'd be no reason to worship it. That's what's, to me, so wrong about crucifixes. Jesus isn't there anymore. It's empty. It's done. I mean, if you're gonna have something like that, have an empty tomb or something, you know? When you focus upon a crucifix, you're looking at a point in the process, but you're freezing it there. And especially when you then add when you do that within the context, especially of Rome's never finished sacrifice, never perfecting mass, the result is a mess. And so I tried in the article to actually present the gospel, hoping that, you know, who knows, maybe there's some Muslims out there that are just as disgusted by what they see happening, by the images of that Jordanian pilot on fire or whatever else it might be, that the Spirit's working upon them and they're looking for something more than this. Could there be something more than this? And maybe reading that will give them, wow. There are some Christians that have a very high view of the cross, but they don't worship the cross. They don't believe in bowing down before images and statues and things like that. That's why we address that. And so then after the deed is done, you have this Islamic music, and then this same man standing there with blood on his hands, because he was one of the executioners, with his knife aimed toward Rome. There was a reason they did this here. I forgot to bring it in with me. It's Arl Haq. It's still in the plastic on my desk, but I'm just about done with It's Arl Haq. Don't worry about it. This huge work, 800 some odd pages, Karawani, I think, was the name of the Indian scholar put together, I think, first publishing it in 1864. I've mentioned it to you a number of times before. It's the most important book in the formation of modern Islamic Dawah. It's the reason that 99.9% of Muslims around the world believe the Bible's corrupted, rather than the way it was before 1864, where you had more of a split. Reading in there, one of the arguments that is used, you know, he has a whole section against Roman Catholic beliefs, but from his perspective, since there's more Roman Catholics than there are Protestants, the Pope represents Christianity. And you can just tell that biblical argumentation is seen as secondary in comparison to papal argumentation. And the fact is, false religion like Rome will have much to answer for when it comes to these issues. And you see it right here. And so here's this guy, and here in modern day, he's pointing with his bloody knife toward Rome, and he says, well, what does he say?
And we will conquer Rome by Allah's permission, the promise of our Prophet, peace be upon him.
We will conquer Rome. And it's not all that far. The Mediterranean's not really wide at that point. But there they are, just, you know, south of Rome, saying, we will conquer Rome. From their perspective, again, remember, in the Islamic mind, you have Dar al-Islam, the world under Islam, and Dar al-Hab, the world of warfare. And from their perspective, until everyone submits to their particular understanding of Islam, then there is no innocent person. And that's why they can excuse kidnapping workers who are just shoveling dirt for a living, trying to make ends meet, kidnapping young ladies. Right before I came on, I saw something somewhere. Where was that? There had been sort of a breaking news type thing about how many people had been kidnapped. Yeah, here it is. According to Libya Herald, at least 35 Egyptians have been kidnapped at various locations by ISIS just today. Yeah. Well, because Egypt was bombing ISIS positions. So it's going to happen again. This is the mindset. This is the mindset. To us, it is grossly immoral to kidnap people. To them, if you're in the Dar al-Hab, if you are not in subjection to Islam and Muhammad specifically in the way they say you should be, then you're a crusader. You're in opposition to Islam. And this, again, is where it comes back to the vast difference between Christianity and Islam. They are seeking to bring about submission by severing heads rather than changing hearts. Because they can't change hearts. There's nothing in their message that can change hearts. There's nothing in their theology that can change hearts. In fact, their theology says the hearts don't have to be changed in the first place. We say the kingdom of Christ is extended not by the severing of heads or the blowing up of militants, but by the changing of hearts, through the ministration of the Holy Spirit and the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the difference. And a vast difference it is. At least, it's supposed to be. Like I said, I'm feeling pretty down today by how many people who call themselves Christians that evidently don't believe that. But don't get me wrong. A nation has the right to say that this group cannot exist in our borders, to make them illegal and to fight against them. I understand that. And if every one of those men dies in a Hellfire missile strike and that missile came from the United States, that's justice. But here's the problem. What people don't seem to get is that there was a young Jewish man that stood holding the coats of those who were stoning Stephen. And that wasn't, folks, some nice, kind, gentle execution. Yeah, believe it or not, I've seen stoning too. And it's slow, and it's bloody, and there's a guy named Saul of Tarsus, and he may not have been chucking the rocks, But he was helping those that were. And he was in perfect agreement. I guess he'd be one of the cameramen on this thing. How's that? And it seems there's a lot of folks, every cameraman, every Muslim in this, wipe them out. Well, I guess you wouldn't mind missing 13, 14 books of the New Testament, depending on how we count that one. Maybe you understand why Barnabas had to bring Paul along. Had to say, no, really, guys, he has been converted. It's been bothersome, really has, to see the attitude. As Christians, we should at least want to understand, want to think based upon truth, rather than upon mere emotion. But unfortunately, there are some who just can't get past the emotional part, evidently, and so they go that direction. Not sure if I want to switch gears here, but I think I will anyways. Let me switch gears the last few minutes. Thursday, I'm not sure what's going to happen Thursday. Probably shooting for 3 o'clock, I'd say, Thursday. But we're going to have a guest. Going to have to figure out how to get that microphone on a stand, huh? You got it. J.D. Hall. J.D. Hall is coming to Phoenix for a debate this weekend on the subject of theonomy. And he's gonna be coming by. And so I said, hey, come on by and take in the dividing line. And I have a feeling it'd be pretty hard to keep JD on that side of the wall. I think he'd be making so many gestures and stuff through the window that it just wouldn't. Yeah, so we'll find a place to plop JD over there, and so I'm not sure if I can even control JD. It may get us in all sorts of kinds of trouble.
And I can set up a two camera shoot and everything.
You can.
Cool.
You can.
Dig it.
You can. So we'll see what comes of that. There's lots of things to be discussing, some of which I'll just sort of let him take the hits and I'll stay out of the way. But there was one thing that I wanted to touch on real quickly. I've got just a couple minutes. I saw an article and, again, I didn't see the article. It was somebody on Twitter directed me to this. Washington State couple chooses to raise their child speciesless. Echo is a 3-year-old in human terms and communicates using a system of bleats, chirps, and barks. In an interview with This Is That, Gabriel Roberts discussed his and his wife's decision to allow their child, Echo, to choose for itself what species it is. Mr. Roberts believes that a hands-off approach is the best way of raising children, and that kids should be allowed to make their own decisions about their taxonomic rank. If Echo wants to be a human, that's fine. But it's not my job as a parent to tell it that it is. My parents told me I was human, and they were told the same by their parents. It's time to break the cycle, said Roberts. Now, I'm thinking this is a joke. I'm hoping it's a joke. Except, you know, This Is That is a joke thing. But this is on CBC Radio. I'm going to hope it's a joke. But you know why it's hard to tell? Because of where it came from. It's coming from a part of the country where there's no longer male or female. PETA. And you just left, you look at these stories, and even 5 years ago, it would have been easier. Anymore, you just sit back and go, I wish if this is a joke, they wouldn't do this. You know why? You know why? Because somebody will go, that's a good idea, and we'll do it. We thought that that was impossible until we started seeing it happen. I hope it's a joke and it's trying to make a point. What would the point be? Well, if you can't even figure out your species, then you certainly can't figure out... If you can't figure out your gender, I'm sorry. If you can't figure out your species, gender and everything else come along with it. Such confusion. Such confusion. If it's a joke, it's a sad one. Because the only way it could work is in our day. This wouldn't have been funny when I was a kid because we've sat there and gone, what are you talking about? But today, especially coming out of Washington State, if it's Washington, Oregon, Massachusetts, New York, huh? Okay, yeah, parts of New York. I want to let the Western New Yorkers still be the same people that they are, but why would anyone want to live in Western New York when you know that you have no representation in your government? I haven't figured that part out either.
I just you read that, and I just keep thinking of that Tom Cruise quote from A Few Good Men where he was talking about the Rocco Sluggo School of the Galactically Stupid.
Well, again, hopefully it's a joke, given the sources. Never know these days. Never know these days. Anyway, there are so many more things like that. And that was the other part. Is that case? You know why that? I'm going over just a second here, but you know why that has more credibility as a joke? Because the Chelsea Manning story is real. And it's just as insane. And it came out the same day. You know what I'm talking about? The military. You got the guy who did the WikiLeaks thing. Okay, so you got a traitor. And he's in prison. And you know what the U.S. military is going to do with your tax dollars? You know, they're talking about not being able to have enough soldiers in the field and not provide them with the materials they need. But they have enough money to provide hormone therapy to Chelsea Manning in prison to transition into a female. It is so painfully obvious to me that the socialists have targeted the United States military to turn it into a big, huge social experimental lab simply to destroy its fighting spirit. There's just no question about it. And you look at this. You look at those grunts in the field, at how little they get paid, and now they have to read in the Stars and Stripes that some traitor in a military prison is going to get hormones to transition into a woman, which of course doesn't transition into anything at all. Anyway, I don't know what, like I said, we're going to do on Thursday, but one other story I want to get to eventually, I sent it to you, was the Utah firing squad story. Utah firing squad story. But that would be way too much of a transition. Too many things. Anyways, thanks for listening to Divine Line today. Like I said, I'm thinking 3 o'clock on Thursday, and I'm going, don't know what's going to end up being, but one thing, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting one way or the other. We'll see you then. God bless.